Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams, and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys for listening to the sound of my voice, and I wish you all peace, love, and happiness. Hope you all are having an incredible, incredible week. I hope that you are reaching out and crushing your goals and, you know, getting everything that your heart could ever, ever desire. This particular episode of the podcast, I want to jump right into it, man. Let me tell you. I've been reading this book. It's called Prosperity Consciousness by Frederick Lehrman. And it has really been mind-blowing and eye-opening in the way that me, myself, kind of relates to money or how I think about money. And I've talked about this all the time. How your brain operates, how you think, is what will determine your reality. So all of my life, I think I've been operating out of this repulsion of money type deal. And that's because when I was young, when I was a little kid, we would always talk about how rich people, they got their wealth by some underhanded means or by some criminal exploits or by being unscrupulous. I was also told that people who are wealthy, they weren't happy. They would kill themselves at a higher rate than people who were not wealthy or rich. And number three, I've always been told that money doesn't buy happiness. So when I started reading this book and this book started diving into the background of the things that I've been telling myself in my mind all of these years, I started to realize that I think I've been subconsciously repelling money. Like, I haven't been drawing money towards me. It's kind of something that I think that I've already known. But I want to go over some principal areas to changing your mindset concerning your money, concerning finances. Because I know that's a huge deal. We all deal with finances. Whether you like money, whether you hate money, whether you love our economic system or hate it, like, you're in the game. Like, you're actually part of this whole little system here. And, you know, you might as well learn how to play the game right instead of being miserable and struggling all the time. So before I get into that, though, let me give a shout out to Marvel for their series WandaVision. I've been watching the episodes. I've been kind of keeping up with them. And the show is blowing my mind. I'm not even going to lie. When I first saw, like, they announced the show WandaVision, I was thinking it's going to be another stupid way for them to hold on to our attention to kind of ramp up viewership. And how are they going to make a TV show? And it was, of course, the only trailers I had seen at the time was the show was in black and white. I'm like, what are they doing, a black and white show with Wanda and Vision? So I was going to write it off, but then I started watching episodes. Man, it's just crazy. The show is so freaking good. Give it to, shout out to Marvel and Kevin Feige and Jon Favreau and all the guys out there. This show is just genius. And I think it's giving us a good bridge between what just happened in Endgame and the next set of movies. Like, I think we've got Doctor Strange and the, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Chaos and something like that. And then the next Spider-Man movie that we hear all these rumors about, and we don't have any idea about what's actually going to happen. So I think it's kind of leading up to that. Like, it's a nice little bridge. And have we ever seen this before? Have we ever seen, a set of movies and then having a TV show bridge the gap between one set of movies and the next? Marvel kind of did it before, where they did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they were actually responding, or they were affected by the events of the movies, but the stuff that you saw in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. never translated to the big screen. But I think in this case, you're actually going to see issues from the television show directly affect what's going to happen in the next set of movies. I mean, just brilliant. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So WandaVision on Disney Plus, if you guys get a chance, check it out. It's very, very good. Very good. And this last episode, I'm going to tell you, I recorded this episode of the podcast on Friday and I'm releasing it on Friday, but I just watched episode 8 and there's a life lesson in that episode. I'll talk about it probably in the next episode of the podcast. I want to give people a chance to watch it. I don't want to do any spoilers here. But you know how I do. Like, I watch stuff and I just try to pull like lessons out of those things. I start to get out of the habit of just watching stuff to be entertained. Like, I'm looking for messages because there's messages everywhere that you look. So, prosperity consciousness. Let's get back into that and the power of what our minds tell us. So, there's three principles that you can use to expand your consciousness surrounding money or surrounding really any area in your life. If you're kind of like a glass half empty type of person, there's different ways that you can kind of train yourself to look. It really all starts in the mind. I've always been a firm believer that money is neither good nor evil. It's just a tool. Money really only amplifies the person as they truly are. So if you're a jerk when you're broke, you're going to be a jerk rich. It's just going to be made bigger because you've got more freedom, because you've got extra, you've got the money. You've got more influence. If you're a generous, giving person, you're going to be more of that when you are rich instead of, you know, the money changing you to an evil person. Money doesn't change anything. You were already that. So let me get back into my story when I was told when I was a little kid. And you got to think about if you can relate to this in any way. This may be reason why you're not reaching financial goals. And this is before you even start to do any kind of saving, any kind of budgeting, anything like that that's practical when you've got hands on money. Let's talk about the mindset. So if you can look back into your early days, think about the things that you were told about money, about people who might have had money. If you're anything like me, like I was told what I said earlier, like people that are rich, they're not happy, they kill themselves, they got their money by some unscrupulous means, they're criminals, they're crooks, they have a lot of money, so other people can't get their hands on the money. Like, we were told all of these things, and then when we grow up, our subconscious kind of buries that thing, but it's always playing in the background. So when you deal with, when you have money issues, Your subconscious kind of directs you in ways that you're not even aware. And we kind of bury that stuff. Our conscious mind takes over, yeah, and we go through our day-to-day lives. But there are things that happen under the surface. Let me give you a couple of experiments that you can even try on yourself. The first principle about expanding your mindset or surrounding really anything, what you think about expands. Let's start there. That's the first one. A really good way to test this theory out. Have you ever purchased a car? You got your car. Let's say back in the day, I was kind of obsessed with Mazda RX-7. And I was able to get my hands on, I believe it was a 91. You know, it was like that kind of really short with a very long pointed hood. It was very low to the ground. It looked like a little sports car. Now, I wasn't familiar with that type of car until I actually had one. I was fascinated by the rotary engines. It was a stick shift. It was fun to drive that car. Like, I used to like do little spin outs and like races and things like that. I mean, the car, it was a speedy little car. But I noticed I had never seen that car on the street before until I got one. And then when I got one, and this was like years later, this was probably 97, 98, like the next body frame of the Mazda RX-7 was already out. And that was already on the road. So I was familiar with that. It was more of a rounded body frame. You can kind of look up how they look, the differences in the body style. It was a striking difference. But when I got my version, when I got my, it was like I said, 91, I started to notice them everywhere. Now, I had never seen this car on the street before. Never really paid it any attention. But then I started to look around. My car, mine was black. It was like all black. It was beautiful. Good God, I missed that car. But then I started to see like red ones and orange ones and green ones. And I even saw one that was like poop brown. Like, I just, it was crazy. But what happened? Like, I didn't notice that car until I actually had one. So I was thinking about my car. I was working on it. I was cleaning it. I was washing it. I was focusing on my car. And then I just started to notice them everywhere. So that's like a little exercise that you can do to yourself. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a car. Like, think about a certain situation. Think, you can not own the car. Just think about a car. Just think about something that you might want, something that you know is not impossible for you to own, but it's kind of just outside your realm of reaching it. and see if you can't manifest that in your life. You can do that with people. You can do that with food items. Like, you can do anything that you can focus on. That's what you'll start to notice. That's how powerful your mind is. So what you think about expands. Just like with money, if you think about and focus on your bills, you think about stock market crashing, you think about money losing value, you think about all of the horrible things that can happen that can take your money out, that's all that you'll see. If you think about abundance, if you think about wealth, you think about adding additional income streams to your bottom line, you'll start to see that stuff magnify also. So that's the first one. What you think about expands, and you can use that in any area of your life. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take a break, come right back. We're going to talk about the next two. I've got two more, and I really focus on your mindset. Let's not even think about like the income yet and what you can do about saving and investing and multiplying your money, things like that. Let's just start with the mindset. So I'll come back. I got two more. See you in just a minute. Williams coming at you, and I want to introduce you to my blog. I call it Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures, but you can find it by visiting www.9w6e.com. Of course, I'll have it in the show notes description. If you can't click on the link, just make sure that you go check it out. I want to draw your attention to the tab that says Biohacking Supplements. You know, biohacking is the art of taking a supplement and forcing your body to work at its best. And I have a particular supplement that I really want you guys to experience. It's called Brain Reimagined by VeloVita. It is an incredible supplement that has me working at my best. It's healthy brain food, guys. So what that does is give you bursts of energy, improve mental focus, and incredible mental acuity. So go check out my blog today, and you can get some more information about how you can get your hands on some. All right, welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me. And we're talking about The Prosperity Consciousness, which is a book that I am reading. I suggest everybody go out and check it out. But it's Prosperity Consciousness, and it's by Frederick Lehrman. Incredible book, really opening my eyes, really got me diving deep into, you know, my hang-ups about money. And I want to share one of the principles that's shared in the book with you all. I've already talked about one of the three principles to changing your mindset concerning money. The first one was, whatever you think about expands. The second one, whatever you think is the absolute truth, that's what you will create. Now, I know you've heard this many, many times before. Anytime that you listen to any type of motivational presentation, or if you're listening to a speech by someone, I've heard from Zig Ziglar. I've heard it from Jim Rohn, heard it from Gary Vee, Eric Thomas. Whatever you think is the absolute truth, that's what you will create. That will be your reality. And it's very interesting, now that I'm thinking about it, talking about WandaVision. This is a little slight spoiler, so if you have not seen the show yet, I do apologize. But Wanda has created something that she thinks is the absolute truth. I'll just leave it there. I'm not going to give away any spoilers. But that's one example. Another example is this political climate that we live in right now, or that we've kind of just gotten out of. There were people that were hell-bent on thinking that, you know, Democrats are one way and Republicans are another way. And people were just touting that as absolute truth until it got to the point where you had somebody going to a pizza spot with a gun because they thought that in the basement of this pizza shop, there was child trafficking going on and kids being held against their will. And, you know, turns out the pizza shop didn't even have a basement. So there are people that whatever they think about, that's what their reality will be. Kind of along the same lines of if you hang around 9 broke friends, you will end up being the 10th. You basically surround yourself with your reality. You wrap yourself up in it kind of like a blanket. And if anybody tries to pull you out of that, you'll protest, you'll fight, you'll do whatever you can to stay in that one particular area. So that's number two. Whatever you think is the absolute truth, that's what you will create. The third one is the one that I struggle with the most, and it's put very eloquently in the book. But when you think about it, see if this rings true in your life. Okay. It says that thought is eternal until we rethink it. Wow. Now, what does that mean? Just like I said at the beginning, when I was young, I was told that rich people were unhappy, they were suicidal, they were crooks, they were criminals, all of these things. And I'm pretty sure a lot of other people have heard these things said, repeated in their households as well. So then we grow up as adults and we get to the point where we know not only need money to survive, we want to be prosperous. You know, you might get to the point where you want to leave a legacy for your children. You want to be able to help influence other people in the world. And unfortunately, you need money to do all of that stuff. Not just to be balling out of control with houses and cars and jewelry and stuff like that. No, I'm talking about something a little bit, well, a lot more significant. When you talk about leaving a legacy, if you're talking about like steering your children in the right direction and giving them the tools to do so, one of those tools is money. So when you grow up thinking that rich people are thieves and crooks, they're suicidal, they're unhappy, and all of these negative things surrounded with rich people, you will subconsciously repel money away from you in order to live in that safe, childlike lie that you were told. When you get older, you actually realize that there are rich people that are very happy. And they are very astute, and they're not criminals, and they earn their money through well means. And then when you start to realize stuff like that, you kind of start to question everything else that you learned when you were a kid. But it was true with Earl Nightingale. He actually was told that too. He was told that rich people are unhappy. He was told one day that their ship will come in. And if you've ever dealt with young children take everything literally. So if you say to your child or if you say to children, one day our ship is going to come in, it might sound silly to us as adults, but to little children, they are literally thinking of a ship pulling up to their front door and just unloading treasure in front of the house. Like literally a boat pulling up to your house and just delivering treasure. You know, and we got these things that that's what sticks with us subconsciously. Our subconscious mind takes that and then it just tucks it away. And we don't even realize it, but in our day-to-day lives as an adult, we act on those subconscious things that we were told. Let me tell you a quick story. And it's a story that the author shared, Frederick Lehrman, in his book, Prosperity Consciousness. He told us that around 6 or 7 years old, his father thought it was time for him to learn about money. So he would start giving him an allowance. And you know, back then his allowance was a nickel, 10 cents, somewhere in that area. But on top of that, his father had an account book that he kept. So now not only did he have a little bit of control over his money, but it was kind of like credit, because sometimes he wasn't actually given the money. It was just written down in his account book. Now, his father, of course, kept the money that he was owed kind of like separate or whatever, but it was more like a credit system. And, you know, when he did certain things, you get more money. Every week he got his allowance, and his allowance would increase by doing certain well things or certain things well, I should say. And then as he got older, his allowance would incrementally increase. So he was kind of learning at a young age that he would be given money. And just by getting older, his value increased. He would get more money. If he did good things, he would get a little bit more money. Right. That's how we all think about it. So then one day something happened. It totally took him by surprise. He had a little brother. He had a younger brother. And one day his brother and him were wrestling. And something happened and his brother kind of hurt his foot while they were wrestling and turned into this big ordeal. He ran into the bathroom and locked himself in, and the mother had to come get involved, and they were fighting all up until father came home and he established martial law in the house. So that night, the father took out the account book, and the author didn't know what was going on. It was kind of a mystery to him. He never took out the account book on any other day except Monday. The transactions happened always on Monday. This was like a Wednesday or a Thursday this happened. So his father takes out the account book and he writes down, playing rough with your brother minus 10 cents. And so this is the first time this had ever happened. So out of instinct, he kind of protests. He stands up, he's yelling, he starts yelling and screaming. And then his father takes out the account book again and he writes, yelling back at your father minus 10 cents again. So back in those days, he had suffered this devastating loss through an action that he didn't have any control over, and he kind of felt like, you know, it was unjustified. This was unfair because his brother, he kind of hurt his own foot. Just the fact that they happened to be wrestling kind of put the onus on him. So he learned that he can go along. Everything could be going nice. Everything could be going well. And then something happens totally beyond your control and it kind of wipes you out. It can take you out. And then on, he goes on to tell the story that he was given his allowance. You know, things happened that way. And there was kind of like this balance. There would be a balance where he would reach kind of an excess of like 25 cents in his allowance at certain points. And then something happened and he would lose it. And it was kind of like he felt like he was being controlled. It was kind of like a dictatorship. It kind of felt like the normal day person feels when I take two steps forward or I take a step forward, I get knocked back two steps. He started to get that mentality as a young child. So this goes on until he's about 16. When he's about 16, he just tells his father, like, look, I need to take care of my own finances. Can we just stop with the account book? So his father agrees, and he still got a little bit of an allowance, but he was going away to college. He was going away to school, and his father decided, you know what? It's time for you to start learning about actually taking care of yourself, because you've only ever gotten money from your family, from me. Now it's time for you to learn how to earn money on your own. So, kind of like the rest of us, we go out in the world, we get into our careers, we get into our business, and he's doing things like teaching guitar lessons, and he starts giving seminars about this mindset thing, because that was his area of expertise coming up. And then he gives this one particular seminar, and he remembers telling people about the barriers that we have on ourselves. They were talking about this whole idea. This was years after, like, he moved out of his father's house, school was done, he was in his career, he was a grown man taking care of himself. And he said that he noticed in his own personal finances that he would get to a point where he would never have excess money. He would just have money just to stay on board, stay online. And then something would happen, it would take him out if he ever got to an excess. Any extra money, something would happen with the car, something would happen with the refrigerator, something would happen with a medical expense, or he would see something in the store and just by some inexplicable reasoning, he had to have it, so he bought it. And then he said he started to notice that excess amount that he would kind of get to the point of, and then he would get wiped out or something would happen, was always like $250. So extra $250, and he would start to notice that something would happen and his excess would be gone and he'd be right back kind of at floating, treading water. During one of his seminars, he was explaining this to the group, and one of the guys in the group said, you know what it sounds like? This sounds like your father's account book. And he said, when the guy said that, it was like he saw, like right then and there, he saw this light. He saw this weight being lifted off of him. He said it felt like somebody had unlocked a jail cell and he had stepped out of it. And he had realized right then, struck him by lightning, that he was living his life dependent on the restrictions that his father was keeping on him. Like when he got to his excess of 25 cents, something would happen, it would wipe him out. Just as an adult, it was $250. Now that's kind of an extreme case, but if you can go back and think about some of the things that happened in your childhood with money being such a huge part of it. One thing that people like to throw out there, that money isn't all that important. Money can't buy you happiness. And I like to offer a counter opinion for that. I believe that money can buy you happiness. I believe that money can afford you time freedom. It can afford you options. It can afford you good health. It can afford you a different type of exposure that you would never have gotten if you did not have the money. So just by those things right there, that can buy you happiness. Like a lot of us that have jobs, a lot of us that have two jobs, and we're working just to make ends meet. Do you notice that you have an abundance of like free time? Do you have an abundance of free thought to where you can think about things that make you happy? Do you have an abundance of opportunities where you can go take advantage of something and experience something? Like I said in another episode of the podcast, exposure is everything. Exposure to new things. That's how we grow. That's how we keep our livelihood. That's how we keep our spark for living life, is being exposed to new things. If you're spending all your time working, how are you exposed to new things? So, it might be an unpopular opinion, but I'm really starting to get the notion that money actually can buy happiness. And I'm not talking about happiness as in cars, clothes, jewelry, and things like that. I'm talking about buying you a difference of opinion about life, a different perspective. Yes, there you can go out and do anything that you want without money. That is true. There are certain things, though, like if you want to help other people, if you want to build schools, if you want to help educate, if you want to help build hospitals, if you want to donate to hospitals so that more people can get medical treatment, those type of things you need money for. You have to have money, unfortunately, this capitalistic society that we live in. So, unpopular opinion, money actually can buy you happiness in certain situations. You don't need money. Think about it. We were born, we didn't have any money. Money came later. So thinking that we actually need money, that's kind of a gray area of not being the absolute truth. But before I get off on that tangent, because I'm going to come back and talk about this book that I'm reading, because it's dropping so many gems. Like, I really wish that everybody could kind of get their hands on it and read this book. But the three principles, let me go over them one more time. What you think about expands. Whatever you think is the absolute truth, that's what you will create. And then thought is eternal until it is unthought. Now, if you can go back and just think about how you were raised, things in your childhood, if any of those things, if any of those points rings true, and you can go dive back into things that might have happened to you or a way that you think, you can kind of unlock that prison that you've been keeping yourself in for yourself and step out into a new kind of consciousness. And that's what I hope that everybody can get. So I'm going to leave it right there. We're going to come back and just revisit this right now, because like I said, I believe the power of our minds is unbelievable. And I think a lot of us, before we start with how to earn money, how to save money, how to invest money, I think we need to really dive into our mindsets. We need to dive into the things that we've been telling ourselves over and over in our subconscious or in our conscious mind, and try to unwrite that, start to undo that stuff, because that is so much more important than the actual money itself. So I'm going to leave it there. I hope you guys saw something of yourself in that story that I told. And like I said, the name of the book is Prosperity Consciousness. If you get a chance, please read that book. It is freaking incredible. Don't forget, follow me on my various forms of social media. I'm at Corsi the Wine Lover on Facebook as Corsi or DeCorsi Williams. You can find me there. And you know what? I'm actually thinking about starting a YouTube channel kind of surrounding my blog site. And you know my blog site. I call it Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures, but you can find it by visiting 9w6e.com. I talk about the wine. I talk about Brain Reimagined from Velaveeta. I've got the calorie-burning coffee. I've got all kinds of stuff, so you just got to go check it out. One other thing. If you noticed hammering going on in the background of this episode, there's doing construction right outside my window. It always, you know what it always seems like? It'll be silent. It'll be dead silent until I get to start recording an episode. And then, you know, I got neighbors outside with their kids. I got dogs howling in the background. People all of a sudden out of nowhere want to start construction and hammering. You know, it just always kind of seems like that, you know? Another one of those things. If you think about whatever I think about expands. So now that's going to continue to happen. But anyway, thank you guys very much. Hope y'all have an incredible, incredible weekend. And I will talk to you in the next one.